Chapter 4. Armand Izard, Maximum Security Correctional Facility, Coruscant.
The guard droid, bulky and intimidating, its smooth black surface offering no place for an attacker to grip, came to a halt at the end of the industrial green corridor. The blast doors slid aside ahead of it, and it gestured for Tahiri Vela to continue alone. Tahiri, clad in the strident yellow jumpsuit intended to alert the public that its wearer was a dangerous prisoner, walked through and down the ramp into the exercise yard. Of course, it wasn't a yard at all. Yards had access to the sky. This large chamber, buried deep within the prison, afforded those in it no opportunity to scale a wall or receive aid from an ally on a speeder bike. Its walls and ceiling were disingenuously painted sky blue, and large monitors on the walls displayed soothing nature scenes. Air blowers set in the high ceilings provided intermittent breezes carrying simulated forest scents. A sophisticated sound system provided background noise, bird calls and other animal sounds that one might find in nature. Altogether, they provided an atmosphere that was only slightly less claustrophobic than that of an ordinary large subterranean chamber, and was no doubt intended to lull prisoners into passivity. At the bottom of the ramp, as the blast doors closed behind her, Tahiri took a look around. The chamber had perhaps 100 inmates in it, all of them clad in yellow jumpsuits. Some ran along the oval track laid out just inside the wall. There was a ball game going in a wire mesh enclosed court. Most of the pieces of exercise equipment, especially weight machines, were occupied. And except for Tahiri, every prisoner present was male. Tahiri frowned. This prison had inmates of both sexes, all sexes actually, when certain non-human species were factored in. But as a practical consideration, the genders were kept separated, except in circumstances where there were few prisoners and many guards, such as group emotion therapy sessions and some work environments. But in this chamber, there was no guard in sight, either flesh or droid. Of course, the exercise yard would be under constant holocam surveillance, but clearly, something was not right.
"Look at this!"
The words were spoken in the gravel-toned voice of a Mon Calamari male. The salmon-pink skin of his head and hands was thickly decorated with crude black tattoos, many of them gang markings or kill silhouettes Tahiri recognized. The Mon Cal stood in a group of other inmates, perhaps a dozen. They had been doing calisthenics when Tahiri arrived. She felt her heart sink. She knew this Mon Cal, but she kept her dismay from showing.
"Hello, Faron. It's been a while."
"Since just before the war, when you decided to frame my little social club, fabricated evidence of grand vehicle theft against us."
"Fabricated?"
Tahiri let some contempt creep into her voice.
"You and your motor pool buddy were stealing and chopping army hospital shuttles. My evidence didn't convict you. Your buddy's testimony did."
"Too bad he's dead now and can't recant it."
The Mon Cal twisted around to face the other way and raised his voice.
"Gaharag, Lirum, look who we have here."
Across the chamber, two other inmates, one involved in the ballgame and the other lounging near it as an observer, raised their heads. Tahiri felt her heart slip down a few centimeters more. The first was a Wookiee, his fur marked by patches shaved away and gang markings. The other was a Hutt, large for his kind. Both left their places to move toward Tahiri. Tahiri took a deep breath. No, her presence here was no accident. Three of the most murderous criminals she'd put away during her career as a Jedi were here, with no guards present. The rest of Faron's buddies were moving, not being too obvious about it, several of them repositioning themselves to get to her sides and back. The rest simply giving themselves a little more space.